Veritas Wealth is an independent financial planning business focused on managing wealth. In this series, we share hard-earned insights gained through years of experience at the cutting edge of financial planning.
Welcome back to the Veritas Wealth Podcast. My name is Sean, and as always, Rick, it's great to see you. Welcome back to the studio. And Claire, welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you.
I know Rick has children. I have a daughter with a disability. Claire, do you have children?
I do, a 20-year-old and a almost 22-year-old.
Okay, I've never asked Rick how old your kids are.
Sean, I have grade 11, grade 8, and a grade 7, so they're getting older.
Yeah. You skirted the question of answering how old they are, but I won't push you too hard on that. Well, okay, so today the reason I'm asking that is because we want to talk about that tightrope circus act that every parent tries to perfect in their lifetime, and that is setting up your children well enough to go into their own futures. But sometimes when we do that, we aren't necessarily thinking of all the things that we need to, you know, make sure that we are settled in ourselves, especially from a financial security perspective. So before we maybe unpack all of the ways that we as parents can fall from that high wire balancing act, maybe what are your initial thoughts on giving your children everything that they want? Claire, what do you think?
A few years ago, I was at a presentation that had a guest speaker out from the US, a behavioral economist, and she was in a similar situation with children at college age and said she'd found herself under increasing pressure to provide them with the best start in life, from cars to apartments and so on. And she said the one thing that she came up with was the greatest gift that you can give to your children is to not be financially dependent on them at any stage. And that really resonated with me. And she said she used that with her children often whenever they approached her and said, you know, can you help with this or can we go on a holiday? And she'd go back to them. I found that very prudent.
Yeah, and we can take that into all sorts of things, right? Because we start out going, we want our kids to have the best schooling, or we want them to participate in every single co-curricular activity that there is. We want to take them on overseas holidays and give them the life that we didn't have when we were growing up. And we're trying to plug some of those holes, but maybe we're not always paying attention to what it's going to look like in our financial standing, what our financial standing is going to look like, rather, down the line. I don't know, where are you on this, Rick? Do you just want to give them the world?
Yeah, you know, Sean, we meet clients all the time, and I mean, which parent doesn't want the very best for their children? And that comes in all shapes and forms, you know, from sending them to the best schools you can afford, you know, sending them to university, helping them get onto the property market, all that sort of thing. But I think what people don't often, or, you know, what you don't actually think through is what those implications are long-term on your own financial security. And I mean, just as an example, it was around the time of COVID and my daughter was, I had promised her a phone and, you know, the time came and you know how kids can be, they sort of pester you that I am now, you know, of age to get the cell phone that you promised. So anyway, I sort of just, you know, went off and got a contract and there you go, she got a phone. And it sort of dawned on me later that I was in essence signing up for three contracts because I've got three children.
Three kids, yes.
Know? And I guess that in a very small way made me think, whoa, okay, you need to think these things through, especially when it comes down to fairness, and we can talk about fairness later. But basically, you know, you got to think through. That was a cell phone contract. Think of a car. You know, you're buying your first child a car, and then you think, whoa, I've got to buy three of these. So yeah, it's one of those things which I think, you know, there's no wrong or right answer. It's just what we, you know, Claire and I were chatting about it the other day, and we just said, you know, this would be an interesting thing to chat about and to share. And that's just getting clients to really think through a decision before they go ahead, because it's got massive implications.
Absolutely. And of course, because Veritas Wealth does pride itself on lifestyle financial planning, right? Like, put that back into perspective for me, because as we look at our entire lifestyle, we look at it today, but we also want it to be the same then in a couple of years' time. How do we plan accordingly then?
It's difficult, and you sit with the client and you plan around the lifestyle, the life that they would like to lead, their ideal life. And a lot of those conversations come around sacrifices. Mm. So they go, well, I want my kids to go to the best private schools and we're going to help them. We're going to put a deposit down on their first property. And we go, right, so what are the financial implications of that, of those decisions? And I mean, that's fantastic that you want to provide that for your children, but what is that going to mean for you in 30 years' time? It's very hard to conceptualize that. You know, how long is the piece of string? And those conversations can be difficult at times. And sometimes we have to rein clients in and go, well, that if you've made that choice, that's fine, but it does mean that you're going to have to give up on something else later on, unless you're prepared to bring your children in the room, into the room, and have a discussion with them and ask them if they're happy at a later stage to step in when it's needed.
Would I understand it correctly then? If you were sitting with a client, you would say you've got X number of years still to earn an income. And based on those number of years and what your current financial standing is, this is what it's going to look like down the line. Now put that as the lens over where you want to spend your money for your children. Am I on the right page?
Yeah, absolutely, Sean. So remember, we are lifestyle financial planners, so it's how do you want to lead your life? And you're absolutely correct. You know, you've got only got a certain amount of sort of earning years or productive years, and you know, you could work for a long time or a short time, and those are your choices, right? But of course, you know, it's all about what you've managed to accumulate and how do you spend your money. So that's why we call it lifestyle financial planning. It's how do you want to lead your life. So very often in financial plans, we've got things like you know, car replacements. Those are big ticket items. Paying for weddings for children, you know, those sort of education costs for children. So those are all the things that we factor in, and we're just saying, you know, we got to really think those things through, because what, you know, your financial situation may change, and what's the knock-on effect to you. So just think those through before making those big decisions.
I do want to come back to your point with regards to fairness and unpack that a little bit. And as I think about when you're starting to plan your family and you're like, oh, we should have one, two kids. I think we can manage with two kids. We have, you know, we think we have the finances to be able to cover that. And invariably, we're thinking about the initial years, right? I know myself, I was thinking about, okay, we've got to afford X, Y, Z in terms of clothing and maybe like primary school in terms of schooling. And we should probably start saving for tertiary education. And that's, I don't know if that's the majority of people, but my brain kind of went, okay, we'll stop thinking about the other things. I wasn't thinking about a car. I wasn't thinking about properties. I wasn't necessarily thinking about myself falling ill. I wasn't thinking about any of those things. I still had those rose-colored glasses on. You're about to have a child. But as they get older, you start to think about the other aspects. And then maybe that's where the fairness comes in, because you've got the one that you provided certain things for, but then the second one that follows, or the third, also wants the same things or the same leg up. How do we balance that? How do we plan for those types of things?
Sean, what you can do is chat to any parent with older children, and I think, Claire, you'll attest to this. They'll generally tell you the problems just change, but basically you never stop worrying about your children.
The one thing about having children that does teach you is that there are curveballs around every single corner. And as you said, with the rose-tinted glasses, you think, oh, I'll plan ahead. I'll put money away for tertiary education. But it'll be a lot cheaper by that stage, which, of course, it isn't.
Never is.
And what you do see now is when students enter into the job market, the starting salaries are not enough to sustain rent, transport, all of the food. So they either end up living at home for longer and eat you out of house and home, or they're actually needing a little bit of helping hand in the first couple of years. You know what an intern earns nowadays in most professions. So you end up having to sustain their needs for a lot longer than you planned for.
Yeah, you keep paying, Sean. Basically, they're on your medical aid for longer.
There's those blind spots, especially when you start having a family. You're like, eventually things will change. But you're quite right. We've got these blind spots to things that we're not even thinking about. Mm. As you quite rightly say, an interim salary isn't necessarily going to cover the petrol getting from one point to the other. Mm. Are there other things like that maybe you could kind of like pinpoint and go, as a parent, are you thinking about these things? Put that into your financial planning.
Well, I'm going to jump to the other end of the spectrum and say the other things. So you're thinking about your kids and you're planning. And with those rose-tinted glasses, you're also looking at this retirement where you're running through these fields of poppies like you've seen in all the adverts. And it's all wonderful and you just pass away in your sleep. But the reality is, with the advanced medical care that we've had, people are living for longer. their quality of life is better for longer, but it also costs them. So with the medication lined up on the counter and private medical aid not necessarily covering it all, you're finding that those costs escalate. Very few people build into their plan. What we often see is the amount of money that has to get spent on dentistry later on in life.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
Significant amount. So you've got both ends of the spectrum that need to be planned for.
And as you speak about that, I think of my own father or my own father-in-law and the generation that's slightly older than me. And then I'm also still looking at the generation that's younger than me and trying to figure out how do I make sure that they're happy and content and taken care of, but also looking after myself at the same time.
Yeah, that's the sandwich generation.
That's me.
One thing worth just bringing up here is, you know, we often have clients that will be saying things like, I really just want to help, you know, get my son or my daughter onto the property market. And I'm going to, you know, can I help them draw some money and put down a deposit for them? And often that can put pressure. But I mean, there's no wrong or right here. So you know, we just need to look at a financial plan and see that it works. But I think one of the points, or to pay for university fees for however long, you know, but that can often put pressure on someone that's going into retirement or close to retirement or whatever. And I think what's worth mentioning here is, Claire and I were chatting about this, is that as an older person, you have sort of I'm going to call it a finite number of pay months ahead of you. Whereas, you know, you've got a person who's leaving university. Yes, Claire pointed out, they're not earning a lot of money, but they've got their whole career ahead of them. And, you know, hopefully being educated properly and they'll get a decent job and they'll have good earnings going forward. So, you know, you don't want them to start with huge amounts of debt, but at the same time, they've got their kind of whole life ahead of them to be able to pay down that debt. Whereas, you know, you taking out of a lump sum of your savings, you know, once again, there's no wrong or right. It's just worth bearing that in mind, you know.
There's another thing that sometimes can come up where parents have been privileged, they've done well, and they've been able to provide their children with those opportunities and aren't in the risky space from their own retirement planning point of view. But their children have been educated well and have started getting jobs, but they may have chosen a profession that doesn't sustain the lifestyle that they've become accustomed to. So they may have been accustomed to one or two overseas trips a year and having all of the comforts, whereas now from their first job, it's going to take them a while to get there, or in the chosen profession, many of the fantastic, the best professions are underpaid. Think of a teacher. You know, the people that really make a difference to this economy don't earn what many others do, and they can't afford that lifestyle. And parents sometimes feel compelled to subsidize that lifestyle. Because it is wanting to provide the best thing for your children. And that can become tricky because then you're looking at a long time span. How long do you keep on doing that for? And at what point do you pull that back? And is that enabling them to strive for something that they're not going to be able to achieve on their own?
Yeah, and even you could look at it through that fairness lens again, not only looking at fair from one child to the next, but what's fair on you as the parent versus, you know, your child that's going out into the world. And as you say, has a little bit longer still to go to figure out these things and to earn and to, you know, pay back their debt. It's not any parent's wish to see their child struggle or suffer in their earning potential. But you're quite right. Looking at it with clearer glasses and understanding the implications of said decisions early on or later as they get into their late teens or early 20s is going to have an impact on your own financial independence in your later years.
Sean, just something else worth mentioning. When Claire and I were preparing for this podcast, it came up and it was her own personal situation, Claire, and maybe you want to just share with us, you know, a decision that you made a long, long time ago and how that has, you know, now looking back at it and reflecting on it, you know, and just share a little bit of that with us.
So many decades ago, I was working in a corporate environment, and 30 years ago, it wasn't as accommodating. So I had my first child, and sitting in the hospital, and had made an emotional decision at the time that I wanted to be at home and look after the kids. We were planning on more than one, and my husband was very supportive of that. We didn't really sit down and think about the financial implications. And it wasn't going to be an infinite length of time. You know, the thought was a couple of years, but then you're a couple of years, you've got two kids, and this is fun, right? You're giving them quality time. You're not handing them over to anyone. This is just the best job in the whole world, in theory, with a few caveats. But from the financial implications, and at the time, your circumstances are such, and they change. You don't foresee the fact that you might be tapping into your retirement fund 5 years down the line when now there's only one breadwinner and the business hasn't gone as well as hoped. So the sacrifices that are made then, and I would never have changed that and would never regret it, but obviously the financial situation would have been very different now if I had not stopped working.
And that's so true, because we think about paying for something else, or paying for something to give to your child, private schooling or sports lessons or extracurricular stuff. But you're also paying with your time by not earning yourself. Mm. You're also having a large chunk of whatever that retirement fund might have looked like is taken away from you. So yes, also very worthwhile considering, yeah, a factor to add into your financial well-being down the line.
Yeah, sort of foregoing your full income earning potential, I guess, you know. And we were chatting about it, and I said, yeah, that's a very important thing to bring up and definitely worth sharing, you know.
Absolutely.
Like we said in the beginning, Sean, there's no wrong or right answer here. I mean, it depends on everybody's individual circumstances. All we're really saying is, you know, let's look through it through a pair of, lenses that aren't as rose-tinted, I guess, and, you know, think through the longer-term financial implications.
Yeah, so whether there may be private schooling in their future, or university fees paid for, or apartments subsidized so that they can stay where they need to stay, buying cars, setting up weddings,
holidays.
There's so many things that we as parents want to give to our children. We want to see them happy, but we do need to make sure that we're also setting ourselves up for financial stability and security of our own well-beings. We don't want to be stressed. We don't want the extra anxiety, which then ultimately leads to more medical costs. I see how this just goes round and round and round and round. Claire, welcome to the studio. I look forward to seeing you back here again very soon. Rick, thank you very much.
Thank
Always
you.
Eye-opening conversations with you. I really appreciate it. And there really is no wrong move to make here, but be aware that the moves you make are going to have consequences
down
the line.
Impact, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Veritas Wealth Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and visit veritaswealth.co.za for more on managing your wealth. Veritas Wealth, real people, real conversations. A place where money and life meet.